The thought on my mind is city of refuge, and I was thinking about the scripture of Psalm 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help in time of trouble. Yes. Now think about the definition of refuge, and that's a place or a condition of being sheltered from danger, pursuit, or trouble. I think another word we can say is maybe city of safety. But I was thinking about how we live in a world where increasingly what we've known and what we've been familiar with is sort of turning inside out. And we're halfway through 2020. It's been a different kind of a year. And I think about how our society is changing from recognized Christian values of just being honest and being polite and maybe looking out for one another. And what we're doing is we're turning more to be kind of self-centered. We're less self-sacrificing and just things have been changing. I remember how surprised I was to find out that people preferred to stay at home to collect their unemployment check versus go out and find a job or to continue to be employed. And people are not even embarrassed about this. They're almost kind of bragging about it. I'm making so much money just sitting at home. I think about the morals that we're dealing with, how it's things are now acceptable. I don't want to put Sister Myra on the spot, but I remember when my father used to travel to Boley quite a bit. And Sister Myra was a Sunday school teacher. And she was teaching us righteousness, teaching us that a man and a man should not get married. And I remember as a child, we laughed at that. That sounded, we could not believe that might even happen. But now it's happened and we're gone beyond that now. And so we think about just the upheaval of society. Society is trying to change for the better, but they're trying to do it without the Lord. Okay, they're trying to do it without God on their side. We have a lot of uncertainty right now. We don't want to get sick. Nobody wants this virus. The economy can possibly get bad. We don't know. And then we're concerned about our own well-being, our own personal finances. Maybe some of us, our jaws have been threatened, so to speak. There is a lot of dealing with news and political issues right now. And I was thinking about even our own personal and our own spiritual battles that we have to face every single day. Maybe there's sickness and death within our circle of family and friends and the church family. Loved ones who maybe they're not doing too well in their lives, and we kind of see the downward spiral and we're burdened about this. And then there's that constant battle for our minds between the world and the Lord that just seems to be never relenting, just always continually we're fighting against this. And so my question to us is in the midst of all this, who or what are we taking refuge in? Some people are taking refuge in politics. If we get this person in office, we're going to be okay. Some people are looking within to themselves, maybe their job or a particular person. But I thought about in Psalm 61:2, it says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I'm saying we have cause to be overwhelmed sometime, but we have a rock that we can go to. We have a refuge in the Lord, a place of safety and protection. Y'all pray for me. A while back, me and my wife went to my son's parent-teacher conference at his Votech school, and he began to talk about how our son was doing, and he was doing fine. But as we sat there and talked, he talked about some of his experiences teaching. And he said his first class, he was gone from being an electrician to teaching young men in high school and that particular age. He said his first class, there was a high school student who would come in and promptly fall asleep. Of course, it's his first time. He wanted to do a good job. And so he would do whatever he could to make that young man stay awake. He would stand him up in the class. He would do this. He would do that. But this teacher was getting frustrated. Until finally an older man that knew this young man was in the same neighborhood took this teacher aside and very respectfully said, do you know why he's falling asleep in his class, in your class? Because so much is going on in his life and in that neighborhood, your class is the only place that he feels safe. That is the only place that he feels that he can relax and he falls asleep. And that teacher was able to help that young man out a little bit. But I was thinking about how the Lord wants to be our source of peace and our refuge in these troubled times. I want to turn to Matthew 11 and 28. And, you know, it doesn't matter what we're going through. I believe the Lord is saying, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, many times we quote this scripture when it comes to people who are unsaved, people who need the Lord, and they do need the Lord. But I believe this scripture is for us as well, because I think many times we all get heavy laden at some point in our lives. Sometimes, just like Peter, we get our eyes off of Jesus and on the waves and what's going on, and then we begin to sink. I think sometimes we pick up burdens that the Lord never really meant for us to carry, and worries, and the Lord really wants to take that and carry that for us. We can be overwhelmed, and sometimes we can even be depressed and discouraged, but yet the Lord wants to be our refuge and give us the rest that we need. I want to turn to Proverbs 18 and 10. And it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous running into it and is safe. I felt like the Lord gave me some thoughts about this scripture. You know, I think about in ancient times how important a tower was to a city. A tower would give you high visibility. You can see the enemy coming from afar off. You know, a tower was also a rallying point. So in other words, if you were running from the enemy or going to safety, you could see that tower in the distance. You know exactly where to run. And when you got to that tower, sometimes that tower can keep you above the immediate danger of what's going on down below. And I was thinking about how important it is for us to see the Lord as strong, high, lifted up. The fact the Lord has the power to work in this world, He can do anything, but He also has the power to work directly into your life. And I was thinking about how important it is to be counted as righteous before the Lord. That means guiltless, without sin, acting in accord with the divine law. That's imperative. In other words, being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, I was thinking how as an adopted child of God, that means that we have the right to call on the name of the Lord for our refuge. I think sometimes that when we, you know, after salvation, some people get the impression that you get saved and all you have to do is just simply relax and just let God take care of everything without any effort on our part. And I think about that scripture that says faith without works is dead. And I think about part of that having that faith in God means that we sometimes are going to have to do some running. In other words, we see the danger, but we need to know that we need to run to the Lord when we recognize the danger. I was thinking about how good is it if we have this powerful God who can do anything for us. He has a cattle on 1,000 hills. We're adopted as His child. And then when we get in trouble, we don't run to Him. How important is it? I believe that we need to develop our faith in the Lord, that when we do get in trouble, that is the first thing that we run to. I think so many times that we look around for other solutions, and I've been guilty of that as well. But our first option is to go to the Lord, not just when we've exhausted everything and when we're desperate. Well, I guess I'll pray, you know. So Lord, help us that we go to Him first. It's a challenge to us. I want to turn to Hebrews 6 and 18. These are scriptures that inspired this message for me. It says that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters in that into that which in the veil. And the writer to the Hebrews here is speaking of God's His promise and His oath to us, and not only just to Abraham, to all of us, that hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. And you spoke about as an anchor to the soul. So no matter what's happening out there on the sea, if we cast our anchor on the Lord, He can hold us right there. Think about it. If the anchor is held fast in God, it'll be sure, it's steadfast, and we are going to survive. But then He also speaks to those who have fled for refuge to hold on to the hope of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking those Hebrew readers would have immediately understood what He was talking about. He was talking about those cities of refuge in the Old Testament. In Joshua 20th chapter, we're not going to turn there, but when God was building the nation of Israel, He commanded Joshua to have these six cities of refuge. And these were what we call sanctuary cities, so to speak. You know, back in those days, the law was life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But the Lord understood that sometimes there might be an accidental murder, so to speak. One common example is two men are out chopping wood. The head of the axe flies off, hits another man and kills him. Well, the law said the friend's son, his brother, could take that man's life. But these cities were evenly placed throughout Israel. They were run by the Levites. The Levites who was taking care of the tabernacle, the Levites who were charged with teaching the people ran these cities. Most of these cities were within a day's journey anywhere in Israel. I read somewhere that they had even had paved roads to them, signs telling you where these cities were. So this individual who had accidentally killed somebody could run for refuge. Yes. And it didn't matter who it was or how close the enemy was. As long as they can get to that place of refuge, they were safe. But you know, there was a trial as well. And if they were found innocent, they could stay in that city of refuge and nobody could touch them until the high priest had died and passed off. Then they can go back home. And so that's the Hebrews would have made that connection as running to the city of refuge and connecting with the Lord for our salvation. And I wanted to say that the most important refuge that we have in our life is our salvation. You know, because the Lord has created that city of refuge, and that's for the people of God who, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we all need to recognize that's the place that we're in. And it also says the wages of sin is death. And the enemy comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy us. Put that death sentence over us, so to speak. But I want to say it doesn't matter how hard the devil is on your heels. If you enter into that city, the Lord has promised you refuge from that certain spiritual death. You know, my mind goes to refugees. You know, refugee is somebody who has fled their place because of economic, political, or some kind of a dangerous circumstance, or even terrorism. Every once in a while, if you listen to the news on the radio, you might hear about a refugee crisis. But these people understand they're leaving a place because there's certain death there. And to return back home means they're going to die. And I want us to remember that in this world, we are refugees. We're escaping one world. We're looking for that city whose builder and maker is the Lord. And we need to realize that to stay in that city of refuge means life, and to leave that city of refuge is going to mean death for us. I think about just like the people when they ran to that city of refuge, there was a trial. Do you know the enemy continually tries to put us on trial? You know, I think in Revelations 12 and 10, it talks about how the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And says that he accuses them before God day and night. And in just as he accuses us before the Lord, you know, he tries to accuse us personally to our face. Even though we're safe in that city, you know, the devil always wants to remind us of those past failures, those past mistakes in our walk that we've made. If we have any regrets or anything like that, the devil continually wants to put us on trial and see what you did here and you did that. Are you really a child of God? But you know, I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. Because in verse 11 it says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so it's how important it is to have the blood of the Lamb, that power of God helping us out in that moment. Isaiah 59:19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And I want to say that if we hold on tight to the Lord, He's going to hold on tight to us. And there's nothing that can, the devil can't take us out of the Lord's hands. I want to encourage us that we don't leave that refuge of the Lord. When we seek salvation or that spiritual refuge from God, we need to stay within our city limits. When we get saved, there are certain consecrations that we're going to have to make. There are some boundaries that are clear in the Bible. Thou shalt not do this. Everybody understands that. But you know, as we get closer to the Lord, some of those things become more personal to us. The Lord knows our weaknesses. The Lord knows our tendencies. And maybe there are some things that maybe somebody else can get away with. We know it within ourselves. The Lord is saying, you stay right there. You don't move on that. Stay right there. So if the Lord has shown you clearly something, don't cross that line. Amen. That's the devil's territory right there. In 1 Kings, there's a story of a man named Shimei. And to tell his story, we have to go all the way back to King David. We all know that David was anointed the second king of Israel. We know that even though he was anointed, it took a while before he was king. King Saul died, but still there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Well, David eventually becomes the king. But then if we fast forward years later, we find that his son, was it Absalom, I believe? Yes. Tried to take the kingdom over. And David had to run for his life because he didn't know who to trust within the city. It says he turned the hearts of the entire nation against David. And so when David was running away, we find there was a man named Shimei who came out, began to curse David, began to throw stones and dust at him. And David's servants look at this and said, why are we letting this man do this? Let's just go over and take his head off. And David stopped him because he said, I don't know, this could be of the Lord. Let him do this. And we find the Lord turns this thing around and David's servants win the battle. And who should come back but Shimei? Now Shimei has a different attitude. He's scared now. He's begging for his life. And so David says, you know what? I'm going to show you mercy. I'm not going to take your life from you. But we fast forward just a little bit more. And we find that David's about to die and he knows this. So he turns the kingdom over to Solomon. And as Solomon is taking things over, David's giving him advice. You need to take care of this. This needs to happen. And oh, by the way, let's talk about Shimei. All right. David said, as far as it comes to Shimei, he says, Solomon, you're a wise man. You know what to do in this situation. And so what Solomon does is he calls Shimei in. And I think about this situation. If I was in Shimei's shoes, I think I'd be pretty nervous. I can see, maybe in my imagination, I can see him kissing his wife one more time goodbye. I can see him putting his house in order because this is not a good situation. He remembers what he did back then. But then Solomon calls him in and once again gives him mercy. And says, you know what, I'm going to let you live, but here's the stipulations. You move to Jerusalem. You build your house right here. You don't go anywhere. The minute that you leave Jerusalem is the day that you're going to die. And you know, Shimei was happy with that. He keeps his life, all right? And so he moves to Jerusalem, and he stays there for 3 years. For 3 years, he lives, he does whatever he needs to do, and everything good is good. But it says, but his servants ran away. And I kind of wonder if his servants ran away on purpose, knowing that he could not go beyond this certain boundary. But what he did is he decided to go chase after these servants. Maybe he thought it was just a little trip. Maybe he just forgot. I don't know. Maybe he snuck out in the middle of the night. The Bible doesn't say. But the fact of the matter is he went to this certain city, he recovered his servants, and he came back. The problem is somebody saw him. Somebody saw him. I want to turn, see 1 Kings 2 and 36. Or we're past that point here. It says, and it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee swear by the Lord and protest unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad anywhither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? And the king said more to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst do to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thy own head. So the bottom line is Shimei, because he forgot or he decided to purposely go beyond that border, he lost his life because of that. And so I want to encourage us that whatever the Lord, whatever that border is, that the Lord has given us, that we stay right there. That's where our safety is. That's where we can be blessed. You know, the enemy is going to try to use any trick that he can to get us beyond that place, to get us beyond the walls where he can actually have access to our souls. And you know, we can rationalize a lot of different ways why we leave this particular place of safety. Maybe we're thinking, well, you know what, I've tried, I've prayed here, the Lord wasn't working here, so I decided to do this. Or maybe, you know, I know what the Bible says, but it just does not make any sense to me. You know, I think about how Abraham and Sarah, how the Lord told them that they were going to have a child, those two together, but they went outside of what the Lord wanted them to do, and it caused a lot of trouble even to this day. You know, I thank the Lord for this refuge, but I thought about how he wants us to reflect. If we have refuge in the Lord, I believe that he wants our lives to reflect that refuge as well. I remember my mother telling me this story. My mother works at as a assistant at a school, and there was a teacher there who was having a lot of problems with a particular son and some other issues going on. My mother, what they call an ice cream social. It was after this, I don't know if it was a weekend or after school hours, when the parents and the teachers can simply mingle. And this teacher told my mother, says, I want to sit by you. There's something different about you. I feel peace when I sit next to you. And I believe that's something that the Lord wants us to reflect, every single one of us. That others can help seek us out for our peace in the Lord. I believe our homes should be places of peace. You know, I think about, there are some men who don't really want to go home. There are some children, when they leave and go out, they're not coming home because there's no peace right there where they grew up. And the fact that I believe that when others come to our homes, they should be able to feel a peace there. There are so many homes that so much things are going on that you can just feel the tension when you get there. I believe that we should have the peace of God in our lives and in our homes. Safety in our families. You know, when I go back home, there's a certain relaxation that happens to me. I've noticed this. We feel kind of different around our family, you know, because our family, we've had common experiences with them. It's familiar. We can be relaxed. We know each other's weaknesses. Yes. And we're careful with that because we've grown up with each other. We sort of know what can make somebody upset over here, or what we shouldn't say over there. And so we're careful about that. We've had to forgive each other over the years. Yeah. Despite these little annoyances, and I believe there's little annoyances in every family and every person that we deal with. There's something that, you know, just kind of gets on our nerves a little bit. But we learned how to, we had to protect each other. You know, there are some things about our family that, you know, that nobody's going to know. Yes. That, you know, we're not going to just tell everybody about this. Yeah. I mean, we want the best for each other. We're happy when other people succeed. If I have a family member who's got a job that's making more money than I am, I'm happy for them. If they go on a vacation that maybe I can't afford, but I'm still happy for them. And I think about that scripture that says that love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm not talking about that we can just do whatever we want and just love will take care of it. I think if we change that more to offenses, love covers a multitude of offenses. Yes. And I think about in that same way that we're protective of our families, we can be protective in our congregations as well. I believe our congregations need to be places of refuge, safety, and help, that we're showing love to one another, spiritual support, that we're concerned for one another. You know, I get a blessing when people who aren't even saved, they'll call the saints up and say, I need some prayer. Back in the home congregation, there's a brother who is friends with a former co-worker. And this co-worker is actually an atheist. But this co-worker's brother, they found him. He had a heart attack and they didn't know what was going on. But they called this brother in our congregation up and says, do what you do. He knew that he was going to be praying for them, that whatever that situation was. And this man is an atheist. And I think about how the Lord would like us to be in that place. Yes. Places where people can come and feel shelter from the outside. In a place where the Spirit of God and His love can be right here and capture the soul right here in this congregation. But you know, it's going to take some work. Yes. It's going to take some hard work and be willing to make sacrifices for this to happen. I want to turn, as I get ready to close, I want to turn to 2 Samuel. 22nd chapter. Now, this is a psalm of David as he's... It said, when the Lord gave him rest from his enemies. And he said, in verse 2, it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death compassed me and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, the snares of death prevented me. It says, in my distress I call upon the Lord, and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. And I was thinking about how this can be our testimony as well. I thought about all the things that David had gone through. We know his story pretty well, but still at the end he's like, you know what, when I was in trouble, I called on the Lord. He was my refuge. And I was thinking about how the Lord needs a people who knows how to trust God, who knows where their source of strength is coming from. That no matter how desperate things are, we can always call on our God. And we know that He hears and answers our prayers. And no matter what happens, we can find our strength in God. And when things don't go well, we still have the strength to praise Him no matter what. And so in the end, I just want to say, if you're finding your refuge in something else besides the Lord, He wants to be your refuge. Yes, amen. You know, if the world and your circumstances is overwhelming you, He wants to be your refuge. And maybe you're still saved, but there's that place that God wants you to be, that peace, but you strayed from that. You know, He still wants to be your refuge. So I ask that you pray for me.